All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 13. Going back to John this morning. John chapter 13. You guys think that Jesus ever had like an idea? I mean, not like a thought. We know that Jesus had thoughts. We know that Jesus rationed. He reasoned. I mean, like an idea. Like, I'm just going to try this idea out. I'm going to try this idea and see if it works. I have an idea that I want to run past you this morning. It's actually an idea for a youth event. And I don't know if it'll work or not, but I kind of want your input on it, all right? Here's the idea. We give every teenager two rolls of duct tape. Every teenager gets two rolls of duct tape, and we tell them that we want them to take one roll of duct tape and make some sort of clothing out of that duct tape. Maybe a duct tape sweater, or a duct tape shirt, or a duct tape skirt, or a duct tape tie. I mention that so that when I show up next Sunday in my duct tape tie, you're not shocked by it. We tell them to make some sort of a duct tape outfit with one roll of tape, and they give the other roll of tape to a friend and have them make the same thing, some sort of a shirt or a sweater or whatever it is. They can make whatever they want. And then a week from that date, we give them the duct tape on 1 week. The next week, they show up to an event all about duct tape. We serve them dinner that night. We have normal teenager food like pizza, but we also have some fried duck, if that's a thing. I don't know if you can fry duck or not, but we're going to try it. And then we'll play some games, and then I'll share the gospel using duct tape. And I'll share with teenagers how duct tape can fix a whole lot of things. But it can't fix everything. Only Jesus can fix our sin problem. Share the gospel using duct tape, and then here's the cool part. Teach them how to share the gospel using duct tape, and then we go around town. We leave the church and we go to places where people gather. So in Moberly, that would be Walmart. Maybe a basketball game. Wherever people gather, that's where we go. And we just pray and say, Lord, would you send somebody to ask us why we're wearing duct tape as clothing. And when they do, we can share the gospel with them and say, well, you see, I'm at this youth event thing, and we learned that duct tape can fix a lot of things, but it can't fix everything. Can I share with you the good news, the gospel? And here's the best part. Guess what I've named this event? I even made a slide for you. Here it is. Duct Destiny. Not Duct Dynasty. Duct How cool is that? AI made that for me, believe it or not. Duct Destiny. Now here's the thing. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, we have got to hire a youth pastor fast. But there are some of you in the room who think that is a brilliant idea. And to all three of you who think it's a brilliant idea, I want you to know that you're my people. Here's the thing. I don't know if this event will work or not. We did something kind of similar 15 years ago, and it kind of worked. I don't know if this would work or not. It's just an idea to try. You think Jesus ever had an idea that he didn't know if it would work or not? He just tried out and see what happened? The answer is no. Jesus was the most purposeful, the most intentional man on the planet. Jesus did not just try out an idea to see if it would work. Jesus always worked a plan. Everything Jesus did was done with great intention, with great purpose. Today we are talking about one of the most familiar stories in all the Bible. Most of you, if not all of you, have heard this story. It's the idea, or the story rather, where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus didn't try this out as an idea to see if it would work. He didn't think, I'm going to just wash their feet and see what happens. No, Jesus didn't try an idea. He worked a plan with great purpose. In this story, there are tons of lessons that we can see that Jesus wants us to learn. Today, I'm going to just point out three lessons. Three lessons from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. Three lessons really from the heart of Jesus. From John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to stand together as we read God's word. We're not going to read all 20 verses. We're going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 11. John chapter 13, God's word says this. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing, you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand." "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, well, you have no part with me." So Simon Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." "One who is bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you," for he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." Would you pray with me? Father, we're grateful to be able to gather today underneath your word. Pray, Father, that you would teach us these lessons from the heart of Jesus. Pray, God, that you would help us to understand these lessons that you have for us. I pray, God, that you would transform us, that you would change us, that you would mold us and make us into the men, women, teenagers, and children that you've called us to be. I pray, God, you would do a mighty work here in this room this morning. Do a mighty work around living rooms across the area where people are joining via Facebook or YouTube or the radio. God, do a mighty work in the life of your church. We pray this so that you're glorified, and we pray that you would be glorified, magnified, and made big. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three lessons from the heart of Jesus. Here's the first lesson that I think Jesus wants us to learn. It's the lesson about transformation. And here's the lesson. Jesus transforms what's placed in his hands. As I read through this passage of Scripture, I had this weird thought, and I know you're thinking, well, that makes sense because we just spent 20 minutes talking about duct tape. So what's your next weird thought? Here's my weird thought. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, 4, that Jesus grabbed two things. Do you see what he grabbed in John chapter 13, verse 4? Two things. Look at it in your Bible. Look at verse 4. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, and took a what? A towel. And he tied it around himself. And next, he poured water into a what? A basin. And he began to wash his disciples' feet to dry them with the towel that was around him. Now, here's my weird thought. What if the towel and the basin could talk? I mean, like a Disney movie kind of thing, right? Like, what if we could interview the towel and the basin? What would they tell us? The towel and the basin were just normal, ordinary things. Just a simple towel and a simple basin. They were things that you don't think about. In fact, as I read through the story, you probably didn't give much thought to the towel and the basin. But don't you know that the towel and the basin became tools of transformation in the hands of Jesus? Jesus took these ordinary, everyday things and he used them to create extraordinary, eternal moments. This moment will live forever. Picture the scene. The disciples are enjoying one last meal together. Jesus gets up from the table. He walks over to the towel. He wraps the towel around his waist. He goes over to the basin and he begins to pour water in the basin. And then he walks over to the disciples. And the hands of God, the very hands that would soon hold the nails, those hands picked up the dirty, nasty, disgusting feet of men and began to clean them. This image gives you some sort of an idea of what that night may have looked like. The one thing missing from that image, I believe, is the total shock and awe of all of the disciples around him. This was a shock and awe moment. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, was performing the work of a slave, the work of a servant. And Peter, who was the de facto spokesman for the group, he begins to raise an objection. I think you would have said the same thing. I think I would have said the same thing. Look in your Bible. Look at Peter's objection. Verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. You will never, never wash my feet," Peter says. Peter really says what you and I would have said. "No way. You cannot wash my feet. You are the Son of God. You are God in the flesh. There is no chance that I'm letting you touch my feet." But look at Jesus' reply. Look at the second half of verse 8. Peter has just told him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus replies, look at it, verse 8. "If I don't wash you, you don't have no part with me." And then Peter, I kind of like his response in verse 9, because he gets a little humorous with it, right? Like, "Don't wash my feet." And then Jesus says, "If I don't, you ain't got no part with me." And Peter says, "Well, give me a shower." That's what he says here, right? Look at verse 9. "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Like, hey, you may want to get more water, because I don't think you have enough. I need a shower. But it's what Jesus says next that really shows us how he transforms the things that are placed in his hand. Look at it, verse 10. This is what Jesus says next. "One who has bathed." Do you see that word, bathed? Your translation might say wash. "One who has bathed doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean." There are two different words there to use or described in verse 10. One is the word bathed. One is the word wash. The word bathe, it refers to the entire cleansing of a person. It's like taking a shower, right? The word wash is like rinsing something off. So Jesus effectively says this: one who has taken a shower doesn't need to rinse anything except his feet. He's completely clean. Here's what Warren Wiersbe said about that verse. He says this: when God bathes us in salvation, he brings about our union with Christ. And that is a settled relationship that cannot change. However, our communion with Christ, it depends on keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. And if we permit, he writes, if we permit unconfessed sin in our lives, we hinder our walk with the Lord. And that is when we need to have our feet washed. Listen, when Jesus saves you, you are cleansed from sin. You are saved. You've been transformed. The Bible says your sin has been washed away. But here's the thing, believer in Christ. Here's the next part of that story. Your feet still get dirty. You might be a believer in Christ. You might have been cleansed from sin, but your feet still get dirty. Saved people still sin. You can be saved and you can commit grievous, horrendous sin. In other words, verse 10 says you can be completely bathed. You can be completely transformed, and yet you still are going to need to wash your feet. So here's the challenge to you, church. Put your feet in the hands of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you probably had the same thought that I believe Peter had. Put your feet in the hands of Jesus. You hear that and you say, "Ugh, gross. There's no way I'm putting my feet in the hands of Jesus. Feet are gross." But don't you know that's the point? Yeah, feet are gross. My sin is gross. Your sin is gross. Peter's sin is gross. Jesus knows that it's gross. And he still wants to forgive you. He still wants to take your feet and cleanse them and forgive you and transform you. What you place in the hands of Jesus, he transforms. What you place in the hands of Jesus, he redeems. So place your unconfessed sin in the hands of Christ and watch as He washes all of your guilt away. Unbeliever, if you don't know the Lord, repent of your sin, confess your sin, and clean your soul. Believer in Christ, if you know the Lord, but you have unconfessed sin, confess your sin and be restored. Clean your feet. Place your life in the hands of the Master and be completely and totally transformed. There's a lesson about transformation. Secondly, there's the lesson about humility. The lesson about humility is this, that leading actually means serving. Listen, everyone in this room, I don't care who you are, everyone in this room is a leader of someone. You're either leading someone at work, you're leading someone at home, you're leading someone in your friend group, and your leadership, hear me, your leadership must be marked by the kind of Christ-like leadership that we see in these verses. The lesson that Jesus gives the disciples, and by default, the lesson that He gives us, is that followers of Christ are called to lead by example. That followers of Christ are called to serve others. That's what Jesus tells them plainly. We didn't read these verses when we stood, so make sure you're looking at your Bible here. Find it in your Bible, verse 12. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on His outer clothing, He reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you?" And look at verse 13. "You call Me teacher and Lord, and you're speaking rightly, since that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of the others. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." Look again at the end of verse 15. "I have given you" what? "An example." I've given you an example. Jesus was purposeful in His object lesson there that He was teaching. He didn't try an idea. He says, "I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you." Listen to me very clearly. Every pastor and every deacon in this church, every leader in this church ought to be willing to take out the trash and clean the toilets. That's basic. Don't ever hire a pastor if he's too good to take out the trash. Don't ever hire a pastor if he's too good to clean the bathroom. Don't ever ordain a deacon if he's too good to take out the trash and clean the bathroom. Don't put men in positions of authority and leadership in the church if they aren't willing to serve the way that Jesus served. Jesus literally, He got His hands dirty with the gunk and the junk on the bottom of His disciples' feet. Jesus, the Son of God, got His hands dirty. And if Jesus, our Lord and our teacher, if Jesus got His hands dirty, then who are you to think you can't do something like that? If Jesus got His hands dirty, then you've got to be willing to get your hands dirty too. The biblical model of leadership is this. You serve. Husbands, you serve your family. Wives, you serve your family. You serve. You lead. A biblical model of leadership means service. A leader who will not stoop to serve has no right to stand and lead. So listen, we need desperately in our country, in our community, in our church, we need godly men and women to rise up and be leaders like Jesus. We need godly men and women to rise up and lead in this community, in this country, in your workplace, in your schools, in your homes, in your church. We need godly men and women to stoop down and serve so you can stand up and lead. We need humble leaders, humble men and women, humble Christ-like leaders to serve the way Jesus served. That's one of the lessons He teaches us here. He's taught us the lesson of transformation. He's taught us the lesson of humility. And lastly, I want you to see He's teaching us a lesson about trust. And this may be the big one. Here's the lesson. Trust the author, even when the story gets really hard. Trust the author when the story hurts. I want you to remember the context of this foot washing moment in John chapter 13. Jesus didn't wash the feet of his disciples on some random Monday or Tuesday afternoon. This wasn't just a random event disassociated from everything else in the life of Christ. Do you know how many, let me rephrase this. Do you know how long, how far away the cross was from this moment? Do you know how many hours separated this foot washing moment and the cross of Christ? This foot washing moment happened 15 hours, maybe 18, depending on a couple of things. 15 to 18 hours before he would be suspended between heaven and earth with nails driven in his hands and feet. In just a matter of hours, Judas would walk up to him and betray him in the Garden of Gethsemane with a kiss. And here's what's baffling. Jesus knew it. He knew that was going to happen. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that he was about to be crucified on a cross. He knew the story was about to get really difficult. The story was about to get really hard. He knew that the hard part of the story would soon be right in front of him. He was about to face an event so torturous that he literally bled drops of blood, or sweat drops of blood. Like, he was so in agony over what would happen that his sweat were actual drops of blood. That's what Luke 22 tells us. Let me read it to you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, he agonized over the cross to the point that his sweat became blood. That's agony. That's hurt. That's hard. But Jesus didn't run from the cross. I think I would have ran. I think any lesser man would have ran. But Jesus, the God-man, he didn't run from the cross. The Bible says the exact opposite. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. This story was hard. But Jesus trusted the author, because the story had to be completed. The scripture had to be fulfilled. That's exactly what verse 18 says. You've got to see it with your own eyes. Verse 18, Jesus says, I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The story has to finish. The scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread, verse 18, has raised his heel against me. This story was hard. It was difficult. But the author was trustworthy. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. Jesus was about to experience this incredibly difficult. We can't imagine how difficult it was. So difficult that he sweat drops of blood. You've heard this before. There could be no resurrection if there weren't a crucifixion. The glory came after the gory. And here's what you need to hear. In the room, online, wherever you are, here's what you need to hear. Some of you this year will bear griefs that are so unbearable, it will overwhelm your soul. Some of you will struggle with pain so deep that you're going to want to walk away. You'll experience a story so hard that you'll want to close the book. And when you do, I want you to remember the lesson about trust. When you do, I want you to remember that you can trust the author. I want you to remember that God is writing a beautiful story with your life. All you need to do is stay the course. All you need to do is praise him through the storm. All you need to do is follow him with obedience. Your story may be incredibly hard. I have no doubt that it will be. But hear me, you can trust the author. You can trust the one who's got the pen. Jesus, he has so much to teach us. There are countless numbers of lessons that I see in this passage. But the three I want you to remember today are this: the lesson about transformation, the lesson about humility, and the lesson about trust. Let's just consider three Three simple questions before we bring this message to a close. Here's the first question, maybe the most important. Have you been transformed by Jesus? I mean, if you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, then you are not spiritually clean. If you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, then you are not heaven bound. And here's the bad news. You can't do anything about it. You can't wash your sins away. You can't do that. But here's the good news. Jesus can. Jesus is the only one who can wash away your sins and redeem your soul. So if you have never repented of your sins and trusted in Christ and been saved, then you need to be transformed by Jesus. You need to be washed by Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Him and follow Him. Be saved today and be baptized next week. If you are a believer in Christ and you're harboring unconfessed sin, you know what that is. I don't know what your unconfessed sin is, but you know what it is. You know where you struggle. You know where you've sinned against a holy God. If that's you, brothers and sisters, you need to clean your feet. You need to clean your feet. Repent of your sins. Be forgiven and be transformed into the likeness of Christ. First question, have you been transformed by Jesus? Second question, are you willing to lead like Jesus? Listen, if you want to make a difference in this world, there's one way you can do it. You lead like Jesus. You want to make a difference in your community? You lead like Jesus. You want to make a difference in your home? Lead like Jesus. You want to make a difference in your church? Lead like Jesus. And to lead like Jesus means you stoop down low to serve like Jesus. And only then, when you stoop down low, are you able to stand and lead. Have you been transformed by Jesus? Are you willing to lead like Jesus? Lastly, are you able to trust like Jesus? I mentioned that some of you are going to have an incredibly tough year. Some of you are going to struggle in 2026. And I say that knowing that so many of you have experienced a tough year in 2025. There are those in the room who could not wait to close the books on 2025. And here's what I know to be true. Everyone in the room has experienced a tough season at some point in your life. Everyone in the room has gone through a season where you wanted to close the book and be done. If that's you right now, if you are experiencing one of those overwhelming seasons where you don't know if you can make it or not, I want to encourage you to be like Jesus, to trust like Jesus. He knew. He knew what would happen. He knew He would be betrayed. He knew He would be crucified. But the scriptures, He said, had to be fulfilled. The story had to be completed. Your story, you may be walking through a difficult season, but your story's not over. You can trust the author. Give God the pen back and let Him finish His job. He knows what He's doing. Jesus has never tried an idea to see if it would work. He knows what He's doing. You can trust Him. Jesus has never tried an idea. He has always worked a plan. So place not just your feet in His hands. Place your whole self in His hands and trust Him. Be transformed by Him. Lead like Him and trust like Him. To God be the glory, and all God's people said. Amen. Father, we're grateful for the day, grateful for Your word, grateful for the way You teach us these lessons through Your scriptures. And God, I thank You that you are a God who transforms. You are a God who turns darkness into light, sadness into joy. You are a good, gracious, loving God. Thank You for being a God that we can trust. Thank You for being a God that we can follow. Father, I pray today for those in the room, if there's someone, maybe multiple people who don't know you as Lord and Savior, would you, right now, in this moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you convict them so deeply in their soul that they cannot ignore? Father, would you help them to turn from their sin and repent and be saved, to be transformed? If there are those in the room who are harboring unconfessed sin, believers in the room who have sinned grievously against you, maybe there's those in the room who are struggling with various problems, attitudes, addictions. Father, would you help us as your people repent? Help us be humble enough to place our feet in your hands. Be forgiven. Father, I thank you that you are a God who forgives and restores. And I thank you that you're a God who knows what he's doing. Father, I pray this year you would help us to trust in your plan, wherever that may be, wherever you lead. Father, I pray that we will go. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.